morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Marty Plum, and I am your host of a Pen and a Napkin podcast, a weekly coaching clinic you can carry around with you in your pocket. Welcome back to our interview series, episode number 248, almost to 250. I can do that math. As a history teacher, I can figure out that 248 is almost to 250. And this is, I think this got a chance to be a really, really great evening.
We've had a lot of requests. I've probably had at least a half dozen people say, you should do this sometime. And we are finally here where we are going to talk to some spouses of some coaches here. And so really excited this. We are having this at Wine 121, just south of north of 120th and Center here in Omaha. If you hear some stuff in the background, it's Tool Time Tom Crable repairing some tables and chairs and with the assistance of his buddy Steve here. Want to thank Tom for having us in here tonight. I am really excited to have our guests on here this evening. One of my three original guests when the world hadn't even heard of a pen and a napkin, and Kevin Chief agreed to come on. We'd maybe talked to each other maybe once or twice before that, and he agreed to come on. Jody Chief, welcome to a Pen and a Napkin podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. The other, God, this is weird. I didn't even think about this. Ooh. Another OG guest. Guest number two, I believe, was Jennifer Rogge. And we have her husband, Scott Rogge, here tonight. Scott?
Hey, Marty, glad to be here.
Yeah. You look familiar.
Yes.
I've met you somewhere.
Multiple times?
Yeah, maybe a couple of times.
Maybe at our house?
At our house, yes, for the last 26 years and change or so. My beautiful, loving wife, Carla, is on the podcast here tonight. How are you tonight, honey?
I'm very good.
Yes. A little nervous?
Yes.
It's okay. You know, I think that we spend all this time talking about coaching and everything, and I think what a lot of people don't realize is the importance of a spouse, the importance of the support of a spouse. You know, Kevin Chief is sitting 3 feet to the right of me, and he's just nodding away and how important that is. That or he's trying to stay out of the doghouse right now. But, you know, I think a lot of people don't understand how hard it is to be a spouse of a coach. And everybody at this table has been in this game for a long, long time. And I think we'll have some great perspectives to talk about here tonight. We got a list of things. If we go in another direction, that's where we do. That's what we do. So I'll just open it up to the group here, whoever wants to go first. What's the hardest thing about being a coach's spouse?
You want me to take that or you want to take that?
Go for it. You got it. Unless you want to
go further. I think the hardest thing about being a coach's spouse is balancing the basketball season and the family life. And that's if you have kids or you don't have kids.
Yes.
Right. It changes as your family evolves and as the basketball season evolves. And once basketball season's over, guess what? He's home again. And so that's a balancing act too. Because I love basketball season. I played basketball as a kid. I played it. You know, I know the sport. I love the sport. My kids all play. But that's balancing was difficult.
Mm-hmm. How long does it take before you're ready for basketball season to get started again so Kevin will leave the house again?
You know, some days. Yeah. You know, you're so used to being gone all the time. Because in the early days with the kids, he'd have basketball practice right after school. And then if he wasn't playing, he was scouting. And in the old days, he didn't stay home. He was going. It was nicer when the kids got older and he'd take one or two of them with him. And they loved to go along. Loved going along with dad.
Yeah.
So it all changes.
Yeah.
You're talking about the scouting. What really changed was huddle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Huddle was a big difference. Because then
huge.
Like when Jennifer and I were first married, I was the video guy. So if she needed film on Scott, or she'd call somebody and I'd have to cut a tape or a CD.
It didn't take her long to figure it out. Seven minutes.
Oh, yeah. That was a long week. That was such a long week. You probably know.
Yeah.
But no, it changed a lot of things because now you don't have to be gone. You could watch it at home.
Yes.
And that, from my perspective, that was a game changer for being able to balance stuff. It was easier for her because then she's not, you know, you got kids that are, you know, ours are now 14 and 15. But when they're like 4 and 5, you know, it's tough to leave your kids at home. I can't speak for you guys, but for a mother, I think it's tougher from that perspective. Is not to demote what fathers do, but I know for moms, it's tough. But
I just remember what it was like when the kids were little, you know, picking them up from school, taking them home, trying to hurry up and eat, and then get in the car when if there's a basketball game, and rushing them back out there, and half of them are sleeping by the time you get to the game, and you're dragging them all in, and half the time they don't even pay attention to the game, but you want to. And the one thing that I really have a problem with being a coach's wife is I have to strategize where I sit because I don't want to sit next to the parents because I don't want to hear the chatter. But I also don't want to sit on the other side with the opposing team and hear that chatter because I get very defensive. And
My wife is a bit of a mama.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with that. So Elkhorn's teachers sit behind the Elkhorn bench.
Yeah.
So then we don't actually sit with the parents. And I same reason. They may win an event and it doesn't do anybody any good if I'm sitting over there with them. Now, if we're on the road, it's a different story.
Yeah.
And they've been, you know, pretty nice. If they say anything, it's I haven't been there to hear it. But I understand what you're saying. So.
Yeah. No, that's hard. I mean, you know, and I remember the days of you coming in and, you know, Jenny was a baby and Michael was not as engaged in the game as nearly as much as he is now.
Yeah.
Right. And Carter, our middle one, who's a hoops junkie, was upset that he wasn't at the game 15 minutes before so he could evaluate the other team during warmups. Yeah. He's like 4 years old and he's doing that stuff. I mean, that's not far from the truth, you know. So, what are some ways, Scott, we'll start with you on this one.
Sure.
How did you, or how have you tried to support Jennifer in her coaching career? What are some things that you've tried to do?
Not to make her job tougher, if that is an answer. You know, make sure that the kids, when she's gone, everything's fine. As I said earlier, I was a video guy back in the day. I'd do that kind of stuff. She needs anything, I run and get it. You know, as far as they have pizza day or something, hey, go run and get this right here. And it was easier when my job used to be remote. So I was at home and I was with the kids quite a bit until they got to school. And that was awesome. When they go to school, that was awesome. No, but that's one way. And basically just if she's stressed out, you know, as a coach, you live and die by the game. And it doesn't matter what game it is. If you lose, the next 3 or 4 days are not great, right? Especially if it's somebody that you want to beat.
Could have beat.
And you could be, right? And, you know, or if it's a big game. Yeah. And I guess every game is a big game when you're playing, when you're coaching. So
I distinctly remember a game against your wife. It was at our place.
Yeah.
And we jumped all over. I mean, it was like 26-4. And and we had scheduled something with the kids. We were going to do something special. It was a Saturday afternoon game. And somehow or another, I don't know how it happened, but Elkhorn, of course, against Scott, doesn't miss a shot for the entire game.
I remember
they ended
that
up coming back and winning. And I was just fit to be tied. And I got home, and Carla looked at me, and she's like, you got to fake it. This is about your kids for the next few hours.
Right.
Yeah. And that was one of the most, I'm not kidding you. I mean, like, you know, you go to practice, that's hard. You coach games, that's hard.
Yeah.
That was literally one of the things that I remember from my coaching career that sticks out is for those 3 or 4 hours that we were doing family stuff that we had planned for a week that we were going to do that Saturday and not wanting to get out the film and throw myself in front of an 18-wheeler at that point or whatever it may
be. While you're watching film.
Yeah. while watching
you want to go home and watch film.
Yeah, so.
Yep.
I know things that you've done for me, but what do you feel like you've done?
I try to make sure that I go to as many games as I can and try to be clap, you know, clap. And, you know, I don't do the cheers when they do the cheers, but I try to clap and cheer for every kid, not just specific kids.
Right.
Uh-huh. Be there for you after the game, be there for you. I remember a lot of times you'd come home after the game and sit there and watch the game while you're yelling at the TV while all of us are trying to go to sleep. And just, you know, just letting you do it, just letting you get that blow off the steam and watch the game. And
yeah. Yeah. Nice. Cool, calm, and collected. Oh, yeah. Yeah. How about you, Joey?
Kind of the same thing what these guys said. Go to the games, be there for them, cheer them on, be a support system.
Yep.
Give him his space when he needs it.
A big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, give him that space. Me and the kids will go do something else and let him go do what he needs to do, which is probably rewatch the game and do the stats all over again so he can see it. Try not to criticize too much. Man to man. 1-3-1? Yeah. What's that?
It's a birthright in Saunders County. You have to run, right? It's like on the birth certificate, isn't it? Yeah. No, you were never. There was only one game that I ever remember.
The Roncalli game, isn't it?
It was up at Roncalli, yes. Against Gross. Yes. Yeah. So
what happened?
We played. It was my first year. It was first year as head coach at Scott, and we played Gross in the third place game of the RCC tournament.
Yeah.
It was like at 11 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday morning after we had played Friday night. Just like,
and we lived like 2 minutes from Roncalli. Yeah. So
we go, and I'll never forget, this gal named Renee Nelson scored 37 or 39 points against us, and we were just, you know, she just couldn't miss, blah blah blah. And we knew she was good, but you know, she goes nuts. And so I feel like crap. We lose the game. Even though we live 2 minutes from Roncalli, I take the bus all the way back out to Scott because I've got to be the person on the bus. You can't leave the kids unattended. Drive all the way back out. I come all the way back home, and I'm sitting there, and I walk, and I'm thinking, okay, my wife, she's usually really good about these situations, and it's been a couple hours since the game's gotten over. And I walk in, and she's talking to her sister on the phone. She's like, oh, hey, Marty just got home. I'll talk to you later. Bye. Click. She turns to me. What the hell were you guys doing out there today? Why didn't you see the same girl was doing the same thing over the Jesus? I'm just looking at her like, okay, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
You know.
That was
the one time. That was one time. That was the only time I ever remember her doing that.
Jennifer did that to me when I was coaching our daughter's softball team when she was 5. First time I coached her. When we got destroyed, Brooklyn walks in and Jennifer's like, oh, good game, honey. And then she's like, you stop. You did this wrong. You need to do this, and you should do that right there. But I got the snacks for him. So, yeah.
Snacks are important.
Treats are important. You know, away games, if you're over an hour away, they get food.
Oh, yeah. The biggest questions were, is this almost over? When is this over? And when do we get snacks?
Yeah.
At that age.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Yep.
Carl, we'll start with you on this one. You know, what does your spouse need to know about your experience? Or did we just figure it all out?
No. It's very difficult to sometimes go to games when you're losing. There's a lot more chatter, and you don't hear half of the stuff that, or see half the stuff that I see, like some of the players, some of the parents, some of the,
okay.
That's the not fun part.
Yes.
Players and parents often have like a 4-year window, maybe a little bit longer if they got another kid in there. I've seen 18 years. You've seen 20.
A lot.
Mm-hmm. And you've seen a lot too.
About 30.
So, yeah, they move on and you're still there.
Yeah.
And which is great. It's an awesome thing, but there's a continuity that they don't see. And you still remember some of that stuff that was said over the years. And there's good things that are said too.
Yeah. Really good definitely. Things.
And there's a lot more good than there is bad.
Oh, easily.
It's just the bad sticks with you.
Well, that's true. Anytime something negative happens.
Yeah.
And I would say the question was...
What does your spouse need to know about your experience?
Yeah.
I think that's what I wrote down.
It was tougher when they were younger. And just because what you said you brought them home.
Yes.
Fed them. Like, I don't know how many times we'd stop at McDonald's and run inside with us. And you didn't have that. Well, I guess you had Runza.
Runza, Dairy Queen. Yeah.
But
Burger King.
Right. And then you get set up in an area where you just try to close them off and keep them from doing something dumb for 2 hours. I don't know how many national anthems we ruined.
Oh, us too.
Yeah.
Like, there was like, we were in Platteview and some girl was singing this beautiful rendition of the national anthem. And my son takes his cup of juice and just throws it. Boom. And then Jennifer turns around like and looks at me like, does one of these. I'm like, hey, I can't help it. Well, I can, but he snuck one in there.
You should have said, look at that arm.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. God, he's a future quarterback.
But it got better. That perspective got better with time because once like your sons get engaged with the game or your kids get engaged. For us, Brooklyn was a manager since she's been like in fourth grade. So that was easier. And then it was just Joe and I, and we'd just show up. And then he would get engaged with the games. Like when he was younger, he didn't care. But when he got to about like 10 or 11, he'd sit there and the things you were saying before, like, what the hell are you doing? Sorry. What are you doing out there? He would say that.
Oh, that's Carter. That's our middle son.
Yeah. So, but it's gotten easier now because now they're better. And now they have things that they're doing on their own. And it's just me sitting there. So that
part's good. Same.
Yep.
Yeah. Jody?
Okay.
He's sitting right here. Let her
I know. What does he need to know? It wasn't easy when the kids were younger, but it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun taking them to the games. But getting them there at four at a time, you know, a baby, a two-year-old, a five-year-old, and a six-year-old.
Yeah.
But the best thing was... I know he already probably knows this, but Kevin's mom and dad and my folks, we had a great support system. Kevin's folks would pick me up for the games, grab all four of my children and help me get them into the games. And grandma brought clipboards for the boys and they would keep stats and they would count. They were very good in math because they were counting by twos and threes at such a young age.
Oh, that's a good idea.
You know, but if it wouldn't have been for his folks and my folks and the support system that we had with the other coaches' wives to boot, it would have been very, very painful.
Right.
But, you know, then you add on top of that all the laundry, all the household stuff, all the getting them fed and bedtime.
Doing the homework.
All that fun stuff. Right. But
it often after school, like you said, you pick them up and you got to get them there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just trying to get their lines. And basketball is during the winter. So who knows what it's like outside.
Yeah, that's
And then working full time.
Yes.
As well on top of that. But I still wouldn't change a thing. We've had so many highs, a few lows, lots of highs. The kids have grown up well as far as I know anyway.
Yeah.
But it's when you're a coach's wife, it's you don't know what you're getting into until you're in the depths of things. And then it's like, oh my gosh, what have I done? But you get through it. And so many good things come out of it.
When you're talking about like having support, one thing to never overlook as a young parent with kids at a game, if you have a newborn, all the mothers of the players want to hold that baby so you can get 2 hours of
here. You bring grandma along. Grandma's got that baby. You betcha.
Now, once they get mobile, they're like, no, you're on your own.
Well, when I had Jenny... I mean, as soon as I walked into the gym, there was this one mom that's always like, all right, I got her. I got to hold her because I'm so nervous for this game. I just got to make sure I take care of her so I don't freak out. I'm like, oh, God, please do not drop my daughter.
But after about five games, you're like, oh, she's
good. Yeah, go ahead.
Just here's a diaper bag.
Yeah.
You walk into the gym like it's the Lion King. Here you go. Take
care.
What do you... you know, this might be a rabbit hole that I don't know if we want to go down or not, but what do you wish parents and players knew or realized about your spouse and their job?
and their role and everything. So
just the sheer amount of time that they put in. We're talking about films before scouting. Now you got huddle. It's nothing for Jennifer to sit with her either iPad or the TV and watch, you know, 8 hours or more of basketball on a weekend just because you have so many games in a short amount of time. It's just that amount of time that she puts into it.
Yes.
And I'm sure a lot of them do appreciate it, but they just don't know that the amount of time that a coach puts in just to get a program that's successful or to be successful out there.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I don't know if that translates to the lower classes, but I know in A and B, probably C1, that there is that intensity just because you have, like, everyone's got access to film.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And you got to be prepared.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. but that's one thing.
Yeah. Car?
What was the question again?
What do you wish parents of players knew or realized about your spouse and their role?
I would agree that they don't realize how much time and effort you put into it. You have to do, you know, the practices. You have to go, you know, in the mornings in the summer to do lifting weights and stuff. And right.
Preseason.
Yes.
Just going around.
All of June.
Preseason already.
Yeah.
I mean,
same.
Mornings a week.
You have to, you know, go to school all day and teach, and then you have to have practice. And then, you know, sometimes there are games. And, but I feel like you get to know not just the player, you know, you get to know the student. I mean, how many weddings have we been invited to because, you know, you see them as your own daughter almost. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. I think that, and I call you, and Kevin, I mean, I don't know how you would feel. You could borrow my microphone if you want to jump in here. I think the one thing, like I could deal with a lot of stuff, and I could say this kind of in the past tense at this point. But the one thing that there were, it's kind of like in Back to the Future 2 when Marty McFly says, "Don't call me chicken," you know, and there, you know, there's those two or three things that really trigger you, and one of those two or three things that would really trigger me would be, you know, if a parent would throw something and they're. When it comes down to it, they're upset about playing time. They're upset that their kid's not getting what they want. I mean, I shouldn't even say playing time. They're upset that their child is frustrated because they're not getting what they want. Usually it's playing time. That's what I meant to say. But I had a couple of parents say something over the years of something along the lines of, well, you don't even care about my daughter as a person. And
that's what I was going to say.
That was just
right.
Like, it took all the professional couth and etiquette that I could muster and to not say that. Yeah. And you know, that hurt personally.
Right.
When they would say that. I mean, Jody, you know.
That's what I was gonna say, that my husband cares a lot about your child.
Yes.
And he wants everyone on the team to be successful. Play their role. Do what the team needs. He wants the team to be successful. And I couldn't tell you how many, like you said, how many weddings. How many the player turns 21 and who do they want to have their first drink? Is coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The alumni basketball, who do they want to see? They want to see Kevin. Yeah. Kevin wants me to go with him, but I'm like, they don't want to see me.
They want to see you, yeah.
They don't want to see me. They want to see you. Go have fun. So.
Yes.
Yeah, he cares about them a lot.
I'd say the same for Jennifer. Like, she's more proud of what they do outside of basketball than within it. And then she's still proud. Like, if you got a kid that goes to D1, D2, whatever, has a great career, she's very proud of that. But she's really, really cheering for them outside of that. And
you know,
that's probably what makes her the happiest.
And what a lot of times parents don't realize, they get caught up in the stuff, is no – this is life, and this will help prepare you to be successful. We are the five of us sitting here right now absolutely know that life is like this, and it's up and down, and you're going to fail, and you got to, you know, and that's just that's just the lesson of it all. And yeah, you're frustrated right now, or you're upset, or you're, you know, whatever you want to say, but you know, it's not because I don't like you. It's not that because I don't care about you. You have no idea how much it kills me. I'm sure you've been there. I'm sure your wife's been there. I know I was there, and we've had those talks.
Yeah.
I've had to play kids that I personally would, I did not have as close of a relationship with. And I've had to sit kids that I wanted my daughter to be exactly like.
Yeah.
And so yep. it's never anything.
It's a tough spot.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so.
And you want them to see, the parents to see the bigger picture. This is only one little snippet of their child's life.
Yeah.
It's not, if this child doesn't start on the team or doesn't get the amount of playing time that they think they deserve, this is only one little snippet of everything. You got to see the big picture. We're learning, each child is learning. Each player is learning about the real world out there.
Yeah.
What are some ways that you guys have tried to stay connected as a couple? You know, all of your kids are out of the house, and you've got that. You still got kids in the house. We're kind of in the middle. Yeah. We're kind of in the middle of that.
How old are your kids?
24, 22, and 20.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
our 24-year-old is at home with us, though.
Yeah, he's at home.
He's helping you as a para right now.
Yeah,
in school,
yeah, he works in the school, and he helped me coach last year, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. That was great. So,
yeah.
But I don't know. What are some things that...
Well, I know when the kids were little, you were always very adamant, we have to go on dates. We still need to date each other. Even though we're so crazy with basketball and work and kids, we still need to date each other. So you would make sure that we had all those basketball girls. Hey, will you come over? Or you? What about you? You know, will you come over and watch the kids so that, Carla and I can go out? So that was...
Yeah, we were the same way. Kevin always had a babysitter lined up, so Saturday night comes along, or whatever, after a game, or whatever, we were going out with friends and together.
Uh-huh. You guys are making me look bad.
Or having people over to our house after the games, and they're, the kids had somebody to play with. We had
That stuff probably a little bit easier to do in the smaller community, wouldn't you say? You know, I mean, not to say you can't do it in Omaha or Elkhorn,
but
there's a little bit more of that community feel to it of whatever, kegger over at Chiefs after the game, type of thing.
No. We used to
Just kidding. Just kidding.
We used to go to a lot of Husker football games, but that was our thing. But the last 10 years of that have been really painful. It's getting better now. We gave up our tickets last year, and now they're getting better.
Oh, sure,
you
of course.
Can blame us. We'll take the blame for how bad they were for the last 10 years. We saw a lot of bad football. That was our date night was Husker football.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to say that we didn't have some date nights where we were live scouting. We did that multiple times.
It counts, right?
Yeah.
Well, I bought her some Runza before there we went.
Bag of popcorn.
Yeah.
At the game.
Yeah, that's romance right there.
LBs afterwards.
Nice.
I do remember, I think we drove all the way to Seward one time for your birthday, but I took you out to a really nice dinner before we went to scout the game.
I don't remember that.
It blurs.
It's all in his dreams, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Well, her birthday is February 7th. Mm. And then, of course, you have Valentine's Day on February 14th.
Sure. And our son's birthday is January 31st.
Yeah, so it's
just boom, boom, boom.
At the point of the season where, as a coach, you're just absolutely exhausted. You're so tired, you're cross-eyed. So, but I tried to do it. So, what have been some of the greatest blessings of this lifestyle that is, 28 plus... 18 plus 30 or so. Okay,
even
so
counting the time, the years that we dated.
Yeah.
But
the
best thing is seeing your kids successful after being coached by dad. Not in a bad way.
No,
not in a bad way. But they work so hard. They want the same thing. They want that championship. They want to be playing at state. They want that team camaraderie. I can't say the word.
Camaraderie?
Thank you.
I struggle with
trying
that
to hit those goals. And, it's not easy watching your husband coach your son. He never coached my daughter, thank goodness. But it wasn't easy. Not all the time. And and their personalities are so different. All three of my boys, totally different. So he'd have to coach. He'd be so upset when he came home one day because one child did this and, you know, kicked him out of the gym.
Nice.
And he didn't have to walk home, though, did he?
And then we had one child that didn't like 7 o'clock or 7:30 free throws, so we battled that, too, for a while. You know, why do I have to shoot free throws day of a game?
But repetition. The last,
yeah. Yep. Yeah, so much. But, yeah.
We start that journey this year. Brooklyn's a freshman.
Oh.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
It's they love each other, but they... At times they think the same way, and I think that they're both type A, and it'll be a challenge. So
get your
come patience. Watch the game.
Get your referee patience. Shirt out here, Scott.
Yeah,
you know?
patience.
Yeah,
let them work through it,
right?
Because you probably can't.
Oh no,
they have to figure it out.
Oh yeah,
be there, listen, support.
Uh-huh. All right, yeah. That's good advice.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that you've enjoyed about your wife's lifestyle? Just,
probably watching the successes. I think knowing what you guys put into it, seeing you guys being successful out there, that's been fun. And just the journey. Like summer's different than fall. Fall is definitely different than winter. And then, you know, you get your cool down period once, you know, March rolls around.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then, you know, that's probably the best time is March to beginning of May because nothing's going on. It's just kinda...
Not too much. Well, April, though, they start, those high school teams start playing again.
Like AAU stuff.
AAU stuff. Yeah. So he goes to a lot of those games and helps as needed, you know.
Yeah.
But... best time is May, I think, after graduation.
There you go. Then you get a little bit of a break.
Yeah. That little 10 days right there. I got 10 days out of 365.
10 days before Memorial Day hits and they're off and at them again.
Yeah.
No, the best part, I think, is seeing him do what he loves and
agree with that.
Being there for him for that. Because
there's a point in their career where they know what they figure it out. Or not to say you didn't have it figured out, but there's that balance where you can't throw anything new at me. I've seen enough of it. Now, you may have a player that I can't stop, but I'm do my best.
Uh-huh.
And that's fun to see because then you know that no matter what happens, you know, they're giving their best and those kids will get their best.
Yeah. So, what did you like about it?
I really enjoy seeing all the different kids that come through, the different families, and at Fort Calhoun where you came in and, you know, there was a freshman who wasn't all that great, but as, you know, you worked with her and, you know, she got together with the team just to see the transformation of how much better she got in the 4 years.
That's a good point. It's a development.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yes.
Yes.
How well they're playing
together. Yeah.
Practice and then we're a little C1 and we're playing Class B.
Did you guys move up to Class B this year?
We are now B boys.
Oh.
The girls are still.
Okay, I think you're,
so now we get to play the Scots.
Yeah.
Ask Kevin, will tell you all.
Class B?
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
I think for us, I don't know. What's here? You could take the microphone here for a second, Kevin.
What's the best thing about the last couple? What have you enjoyed about it, Jody, and me, you coach, and just your marriage and everything?
Just the coaching lifestyle?
Yeah.
that's tough questioning started.
That's why I give you the big
You know, I think it's been a really great life and been super blessed to have her for a coach's wife because she's been so supportive and blessed to have kids who wanted to be a part of things. And, you know, like you've talked about, brought them, they were student managers for years and then they played and have went on and done other things. They still like to come back and watch. And now two of my kids are coaching at other schools. Oh. I have another one's coaching middle school for us. So
nice.
That part's been really cool having them continue to be a part of things. So I think basketball is just, it's our family, it's our life, and thankful for that. I think having kids grow up in a gym is a pretty awesome place to have them grow up.
Yeah.
Yep.
And one thing I do like, the reason I kind of fell in love with you is when you're all dressed up, I like to see you all dressed up, and I like to see you coaching. And I don't mind when you yell, just as long as it's not at me, as when it's at the kids. But I really like to see you dressed up in a tie. You know, I think you look very handsome.
You clean up well, is what she's saying.
Yes.
You know, that's why when everybody else went to the quarter zips, I was like, hey,
I gotta wear it.
I still want my wife to think I look hot. You know, so, the thing I feel really blessed was, even though it was crazy, like just having the kids in the gym, you know, we would have, for lack of a better way of saying it, I would hire a carpool kid from Scutt, and they would drive to Mary Our Queen, pick up the kids, bring them back to Scutt, during the season. And then we'd have distracted by Olivia Newton-John here for a second, Sarah. sorry. Things not on the bingo card tonight was Olivia Newton-John on the speakers. So, having that 15 to 20 minutes where my assistants would take a portion of practice and I would intentionally get out and I could go over and spend 15 minutes with my kids in the gym. And just, it was just me and them hey. And I had great assistant coaches that I could trust during those time periods. And, I knew mom's going to be out here to pick you up at 5:30 because I got to go to Wahoo to scout Beatrice against Wahoo, and I'm not going to be home. I'm not going to see – you're going to be asleep by the time I get home. But I had that 15 minutes there. And I've also really enjoyed, and I think for us, the friendships that you create, you know, and you've gotten to know some people, you know, not as many as me because it's my direct network and things like that. But you've gotten to know
assistant coaches and things
like that. And I hope now that I'm not coaching that I'm still able to keep those friendships alive as much as I did when I was coaching. So
keep those podcasts going.
Got nothing else to do. You know? So as the spouse of a coach, what are some changes that you've seen in basketball, in athletics overall? And we'll probably keep it into the basketball realm of things.
Yeah.
Some of the good things that you've seen, some of the maybe not so good things that you've seen over the years.
Shot clock.
No, we don't have that.
We do.
It starts this year.
Exciting. Oh.
Everybody has it this year. Yeah. So
it's shot clock was huge. And that was a big worry for Jennifer the year leading up to it. It's like, how are we going to do this? You know, now it's like last year before C1 had it, she was like, I have to play defense longer. You know, you had that 35 seconds. And then you knew unless they got a rebound or there was, you know, a foul or turnover, that was the window that you could sell out on defense and get by it. That was one thing.
Uh-huh.
Shot clock. What else?
I don't remember there being as much elite basketball growing up.
It's a big change.
But I grew up in a smaller town, and a big thing I went to high school a long time ago. If you didn't get playing time or if you were unhappy with the coach, you told your parents and that's about it, or your friends. But never ever would my parents call up the coach and say, I need to talk to you about playing time. Because my parents would have been like, you don't do that.
Yeah. But practice harder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And very rarely do they say, well, it's about playing time. They have code words and code phrases. Yeah. You know, my daughter's not having as much fun. I don't know. I can't think of all of them right now, but
we're in the era of, you know,
we're concerned about the environment that they're playing in, or
we're in the era of where we've paid someone for a team to play on. It doesn't matter what level it is, and if they don't like it, let's take our ball. We'll go somewhere else. And I'm not judging that, but I'm just saying that's the reality.
Yeah.
There isn't, I'm going to wait it out. I'm going to fight and I'm going to get better at this. It's more of, okay, I don't like what's happening here. I'm going to take the NIL deal and go over here kind of thing. And not that there's an NIL deal.
I knew there was something fishy going on in Elkhorn for a while.
No.
I mean, they all go to Sky.
They don't need it. Could be. I'm just joking. Yeah, Let me be clear. Let me be clear.
So, what else has changed? That was a good one right there.
And I think the whole, and Kevin, I'm guessing you're probably thinking the same thing. I think when parents get frustrated, when kids get frustrated, I believe that parents get more frustrated now because they have sunk so much time and resources into their child.
And
you guys are more on that than us. But, we gave up how many weekends? We wrote how many checks? We stayed in how many hotels?
Right. Yeah.
And you're getting 4 minutes a game on the JV team.
Right.
That cannot possibly be your fault or whatever. Yeah. And I think, again, it's and it's the deal with the devil, because you also need those kids that are going to be willing to put in, and you need those parents that are going to be willing to put in the weekends and the hotels and the fast food meals, because you need really good players in order to stay successful. So you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's very rare to find a kid that has never done that can walk in there and be
in this day and age.
Yeah, to do it, just because these other kids have gone through specifically, that's my word.
Specifically.
Camaraderie. Yeah, specifically. Yes.
They've done this since they've been in second grade. And if they've had a good coach, my wife would maybe counter this, that I wasn't a good coach for our son. But
apparently,
would
you
be
know.
Finishing moves, handling the ball. I mean, those are two automatics. And coming in now without having that, unfortunately, and especially, it may not be that way in a small town, but you get to your Class B's and C ones, whatever A's, if they're not putting that time in, it's a struggle for them.
And that is one thing that has changed, is anyone can be on a select team.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. There are all levels, A to Z select teams, and your child may be playing, but at what level are they competing at?
Yeah.
But, okay, I'm going to take you back a ways. When I was growing up, and even probably 15 years ago, there weren't that many select teams.
No.
So only the best got to play the select teams, and they traveled with those few. Now, I feel bad for the kids in this aspect. When I grew up, we had basketball season. We had track season, we had volleyball season, we had softball.
Yep.
It was rotating. Now the kids are having to choose at such a young age before they're even developed into the players that they could be, because I have to put in so much time in baseball because I want to play baseball. Baseball's my favorite right now. But if they could have played all the different sports and developed them and then decided, but they have to choose at such an early age, it seems like to me.
Uh-huh. One argument my wife would make is they play so many games now that if you drop one, it doesn't matter. So I played a bad game. I got 50 more in my select season.
Yeah.
It kind of loses its edge a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that winning's everything, but I'm saying that the competitive side, trying to get the most out of
urgency.
That is a good word.
Yeah.
Urgency would be the urgency to play. And to your point, 15 years ago, when Jennifer first got the job in Elkhorn, one of her requirements was to start a feeder program.
Huh.
And that feeder program is Elkhorn Elite Girls Basketball.
Oh.
So it started out as just... They had three teams. They were all middle school, sixth, seventh, and eighth. And they would play, I don't know how many tournaments. Maybe there were four or five a year. There weren't a lot of these tournaments weren't around like they are now.
Yeah.
And then that kind of progressed. And then that broke off from her running it. And then it became its own entity. And now I think Elkhorn Elite and Elkhorn Attack are the largest boys and girls program in the Midwest. And I don't, based off the number of teams. So,
but and you get royalty checks off of that?
I don't think she does.
Yeah, okay.
Darn.
I don't think so. They might have bought us a drink or two at one point or another, yeah. But they haven't. So I guess the what you're saying is it's just kind of escalated a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I distinctly remember when I got into coaching back in the mid-90s, there was one girls basketball AAU program in the entire state of Nebraska that I knew of, and that was Bleach and Ken Cook's Daubert Pinnacle team. And you had to be super state just to get on the team,
right?
You know, and obviously that is now there's good about that. You can have, you know, you can have a kid that you thought would be your ninth best kid, but because they got with the right team, with the right coach, now they come in and they're your sixth man, or they're your fifth starter or something, because they had a really good offseason. So it's not all bad.
No,
it's not all bad.
It's just what's changed.
It's what's changed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, one of my pet phrases that I would hear, thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
One of the things that would frustrate me on that side of things, though, is you'd have something happen or whatever, and the player would say, well, my club coach says, this is not your club team. You know, this is Scott Catholic.
Right.
This is the team. Yeah. This is this team, and this is what we need you to do here, or this is your role here, and it's different, you know, or this is Fort Calhoun, and this is your role here, you know, and that type of thing. And I think, again, that's the mixed blessing. It's the deal you make, you know. Yep.
And that's just the reality. You got to maneuver within that. Uh-huh. So, I would add that Elkhorn Attack and Elite have been very nice to Jennifer.
Yeah.
So if they're listening, that they've done a great job.
But since you screwed up the royalty check thing, you got to throw that in there. Yeah. What other anything else that you could think of that's been?
I think that kids have more access to watch their games online and go and do their stats and make their, I don't know if they make their own like highlight tapes to give to coaches and stuff.
Oh yeah,
I can't tell you if I've ever rewatched a game on, or if the coach even showed us the game after. I only played volleyball, but we never watched the games afterwards. That was something the coaches did.
My dad would film games, but half the game was like this.
Back in my day, I don't think there were any. Yeah. We watched state tournament because it was on TV.
Yeah.
You know.
Well. Let's it's been a great conversation. Let's just bring it home on this here. What would be your advice to a young man or young woman who is now getting into this lifestyle as the spouse of somebody who is driven to be a coach at a high level? I mean, these were conversations that we had when we were dating, you know, that this is, you know, I tried to tell her that I'm going to make all this money as a teacher and a coach, and that the paparazzi are going to chase us around, and you just have to be prepared.
I was going to break up after that one. I think we had one fight after we were dating for a year, and you're like, fine, are we going to break up? I'm like, no, it's too late now.
What, you know, Jody, we'll start with you. What, you know, what piece of advice if you're a young spouse of a new spouse of a coach, if you're listening to this, what advice would you have for him?
Enjoy the ride. You have to ebbs and flows. It ebbs and flows. Even though it may be not so good now, guess what? Next year it might be better. And it really is. You're part of a community instantly. You're part of the coach's crew. The coaches' wives, find your people. Coaches' wives are always usually pretty good, you know. Grandparents are great, you know. I go to my son's basketball games, He's coaching a boys' team, and the grandmas love me. They want me to sit by them. I don't know if they think they have an in or not. But you know what? You know what? You got to find your people, though.
Here's a and casserole. My grandson would like to play a little bit more. Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of work being a coach's wife, but you know that as you're coming into it. Kevin's dad had a conversation with me when we got engaged. Now you realize he loves basketball and he's a coach. It's like, yep, I got it. I love basketball too. I'm in. So enjoy the ride. It's a lot of fun.
I had no idea what I was getting into. No, it's good though. No, it's a really good way. It is a fun journey. And like you said, there's a lot of ups and downs. There's great years.
Yeah.
There's some years that aren't maybe so great. But there's within those years, there's still stuff that's great that happens. And you got to focus on that. When you have kids that are young, that can be tough up front, but it gets easier the longer you're in it.
Yeah.
And once they get old enough, like you said, being a coach's kid and having access to a gym, there's nothing better than that. So I would just say enjoy it. And it goes far faster than you ever think it will.
Yeah.
Because I can't believe that she's starting year 19 and you're a little further.
Well over that. Yeah.
So it's been great just watching kids come through the program as a freshman and leave it as a senior.
Yeah.
So it's been fun.
I would say make sure you're patient with your spouse.
That's
and
a good one.
Just make sure to always support them. Even if sometimes you don't agree with some of the stuff that they're doing.
That's another topic for another. You might not get another podcast.
I think I need to be tougher on Jennifer now. You guys are giving more advice.
There's days that are, you know, so good. It's fun to see your husband get so excited to win that he's jumping up and down and hugging people. But then it's also the bad where, you know, you lose a really tough game. But I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Yeah.
Especially, like, you had stuff where you went to, I got to go to Notre Dame twice because your team went there. I got to go to Colorado Springs because you helped out with Pinnacle. I mean, we would never be able to do that stuff with the kids.
Yeah. Yeah, those were just the opportunities that were created in that regard.
Right.
Were really, really big, you know. Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I know I appreciated everything that you did for 28 years, especially after we had kids. And I'm sure you feel the same way, Kevin. And Jennifer, how's the softball team doing, by the way?
They're not doing well.
Okay. No. All right. So
it's not going great. But, you know, it's still only the fourth inning.
Uh-huh. So. Yeah. they still have to get 21 outs, you know. So
there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
But, you know, I always... You know, again, I can only speak for myself. I always did try to, even though there were times, and sometimes the hardest things that you have to do as a coach, and I know you'll agree with me on this, for the team to do well, this thing that you're really, really invested in, you have to be selfish. You have to say, no, I need to take this entire Sunday to do this and this and this because we've got this coming up.
Yeah.
You have to be selfish to say, yeah, you know what? Everybody else is doing this over Christmas break. Guess what? We get to go to your parents for 48 hours and then we got to come right back because we got this.
Yeah.
And you have to, you do, you know, and that's hard. I mean, those were hard days when I would have to say, I know you want us to go to a matinee, but we've got Elkhorn on Tuesday and I need to put in a lot of time to get ready, you know, because we just had Beatrice last night and now I need to start getting ready for Elkhorn.
We had the same conversation on our side too. We got Scott coming up. That was a big week.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, that's hard.
But then there's some things where you've told me this before where you've had to miss our kids' stuff because you were going to your basketball stuff. And sometimes I think that was really hard on you. I think the kids were fine with it because you came to every other game.
Yeah.
But I know it bothered you.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it tore me up to miss one game.
Yeah.
You know, and that was actually when I was at Scud, that was the breaking point. I mean, that was, I don't know if I've ever told this story on the air, but what the heck, you know, had some issues, had some things going on. We left for, Carter was a freshman. We left for, we were supposed to play at Hastings on a Saturday afternoon, and he had a freshman game on, he had a freshman game on Saturday morning, and, you know, we had to leave like at 11 o'clock, let's say, and his game started at 10:30. And so we had to, you know, we had to get on that bus at halftime of his game, and I couldn't stay for the second half. And it was a tough year. I mean, without a doubt, it was an extremely difficult season that season. And all I could think about for 2 hours on the way to Hastings was I would have rather been at that gym than on my way on this bus. And that was a real defining moment for me and my priorities is like, you know, kind of these things about what parents don't realize about what you give up and what you do and the feelings that you have as a coach. You keep we dealt with a lot of stuff that year. I'll just leave that very vaguely. But I'm not feeling appreciated, but I'm leaving my family behind. And you still don't appreciate all the sacrifices that I'm putting. I'm not saying that I'm perfect, you know, but
yeah,
you know,
Jennifer has said that on multiple occasions that, you know, it's a big sacrifice. And there were times where she was like, I would rather just be at home with the kids. And we had that discussion, more so when the kids were younger and you feel like as probably as a coach, you're missing out on a lot of stuff. So there were times where she was like, should I keep doing this? Should I not? And I would say to anyone that's listening that it does get better, especially with kids as they get older, especially when they're involved. If you coach your sons or your daughters, that's a reward in itself and probably a challenge at the same time.
Yep, both ways.
But I think that that part's good.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
I would say, and this is just advice for any coach's spouse listening, understand parents love their children.
Yeah.
And because of that, they may be a little crazy about it.
Yep.
And so careful what you say around them.
Yes.
And don't carry what they say too much. Don't let it hurt your heart and bother you. I mean, at the end of the day, trust your spouse as the coach that it's going to be covered, and know that what you're doing is making a difference. You're helping them help those kids. So even if you're not directly involved with them, you're part of the program. You are part of helping those kids get to where they need to be, whether that's sports or beyond. Uh-huh. So that's what I'd say.
Parting words of wisdom, Jody?
Final words. Oh, boy. I don't really have any, probably.
None?
Well, advice to, I don't know. Help me out here, hon. What should I end with?
He's just smiling and nodding. I know. He's a smart guy. He's been married long enough.
Jody, come up with something.
No.
You know,
I
would just say it's worth it in the end. It is. It's tough.
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes on. You know, you've got your family, first of all. You've got your balancing, being a coach's wife with the basketball. And you said it right. He did miss a few things. But in the end, our children knew he was there for them 100%.
Yeah.
And a support system.
Right.
If it's not your parents or his parents or
grandparents,
the coaching staff, the teachers, you're already part of a great big community when you become a coach's wife.
Yep.
Embrace that and just enjoy.
It is fun. It's like every year.
It is fun.
I ask her, how are you going to be this year? Oh, we're going to be terrible.
Oh my God.
That year she won state. So I'm like, well, I don't know what's going on here, but
she was sandbagging that whole year.
No, she was.
Yeah. I had a good team that year too, and we couldn't get over the hump against them. No, that was the year before.
That is one thing that I will say, my parting words. Other coaches against you, our middle son would get extremely angry at the coaches, and I don't know where he got it from. I mean,
right here.
But I have to, sometimes it's hard to remember that your husband or your spouse wants to win, but so does the other coach. And sometimes you forget that, you know, you can't be angry at that coach for wanting the same thing that your spouse wants. But I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I do have one more thing.
Okay.
Okay, so when you're a coach's wife, you automatically become part of a bigger, even bigger group, and that is the coach's fraternity.
Yeah.
Because you make so many friends, other coaches' wives embrace that because you're all on the same team. And you know what? Coaches' wives understand each other, even though you're a guy. Yeah. Coaches' wives understand each other because they're going through the same thing as. So is your network.
Longwell's embrace on a Friday night at state tournament.
What?
Longwell's on Friday night at state
tournament. Yeah.
I've been there.
Yeah, exactly.
Had a ride home.
But embrace that.
Yeah.
That is your people, part of your people.
Yes. Yeah.
It's that fraternity.
It's one of those things that unless you're in it, you don't get it. You know, you cannot understand it.
Well, you don't see the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's one thing we do. We see the inside.
Yeah.
We know what you guys go through. And the amount of time. It's just the amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes a lot.
Yeah.
Much respect.
How was
you two?
We have no
for
respect
you.
For Kevin. How was your podcasting debut?
Oh boy, nervous. Poor Kevin on the way up. I had my notes out. I had my questions. I had Siri, AI. You know, it's like, oh shoot, what am I going to say? But hey.
It was good.
It was good. It was fine.
Yeah. She said, are you nervous? I'm like, about what? She sent me the questions and I looked at them.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah,
it'll be all right.
And you could read my chicken scratch.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
The left-handed pen's right over there.
Yeah, there you go.
I was extremely nervous. You called me at work and I'm like, I'm fine. And you sent me the questions. I typed them out. I had typed answers and everything. And I walked out the door and I'm like, crap. They're at work. So
not filled in. A bunch of scribbles on the way out.
Yeah,
very nice.
So you are I think you're the last member of the family.
Has Michael been on there?
I don't think Michael's Mike like a
Carter's
couple of
been on there. Jenny's been on there twice.
Jenny's been on here twice. So so you did say that you wanted to be on here at some point.
Yeah.
And then you got really nervous and I could tell like when I called you, I'm like,
I was talking.
She's about ready to kill me. You know.
No, like, I was just very nervous.
You're just very nervous, but it was okay. So
good job.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, all three of you did a terrific job, and on the airwaves, thank you so much for everything that you did for 28 years. I cannot thank you enough. 28 years of coaching, 27 of them you were with me. It was a lot of times, and there was way more ups than downs. We'll see where this crazy road of life takes us. Right now, there's no hurry to get back into it. We're really content with doing this stuff like this, but even this would not be possible without the coaching career, and the coaching career would not have been possible without you. And so thank you, honey. I love you very much.
I love you.
So now for the mopey, crappy, romantic stuff.
Do you want to hear something funny so we can get away from that? Is that
okay? Yeah, sure.
So Elkhorn and Scott, big rivals in about everything. Every year she'd go up against you. Those were some of the toughest games that she ever had to coach. We used to live over in Oakbrook Meadows, which is just north or just south of Scott.
Okay.
Fall weather, you want to open the window.
I know where this is going.
So we have the window open, and then we hear the voice of Scott football, Marty Plum. And she's like, I can't get away from him. We have to move.
Yes, that was my one of my side gigs in a former life was the PA announcer for Scud Catholic football, and I did that for 19 seasons. I used to joke with Terman because he took a sabbatical 1 year when Kim was in medical school. And at one point, I was like, you know, Terman, you've missed more home games than I have in your coaching career. He was like, yeah, I know, you know. And then I think by the time in 19 years, I think I only missed like 4 home games in 19
Not very
years.
Many.
It was a very
That's
many.
Pretty good run.
One of them when my dad got remarried, I mean, it was big family occasions, you know, but, tell Jennifer, sorry, not sorry. When she listens to this,
so,
maybe I'll call her up tomorrow at school and I'll just give her the old touchdown
Skyhawks,
you know, so
that might have been what made us move right
there. Oh, this was a blast. Jody and Kevin, thank you for driving in. Scott, thanks for pinch hitting at the last minute. Honey, I've given you enough flowers thank you, honey, for everything. So I hope people have enjoyed this. I think this was a great idea. Yeah. Something that we wanted to do for a long time. I hope that coaches will pass it on to their spouses. And if you're a coach that listens to this, I think it's a great thing for you to listen to get your spouse's perspective, to get your, I think it's good that you pass on to your spouse and say, hey, you know, if they're struggling with your job, here's some people that have walked a couple of miles in your shoes and stuff. So I can't thank you guys enough for your time. I hope you enjoyed it. It was a really good conversation. And so, yeah, episode 248 in the books. We're closing in on 250 and for interviews anyway. And we're just going to try and keep the train rolling here. So for Jody Schief, for Scott Rogge, for Carla Plum, for guest appearance by Kevin Schief. Coaches, as always, let's be sure to hone our craft one day at a time.